Everybody knows that. Just use your head. Ah, common sense. For some, it comes so easily. For others, it's not until we fail to use it that we come to understand what it is. Tune in to Mind's Eye Radio. We'll dive headlong into common sense and try to uncover what's so common or uncommon about the sense we make of our lives. That's Mind's Eye Radio. It's radio within reach.
Save your money for a rainy day. Just do what's right. Growing up, we are inundated with these little pearls of wisdom known as common sense. But how do we know common sense? And what's the right thing for us? Welcome to Common Sense on Mind's Eye Radio. I'm Cole Hornaday. Mind's Eye Radio is a program tuned to the sounds of social change. It's locally written and produced by Mind's Eye Audio Productions and The Writer's Place. Common sense. For some, it comes easily. For others, it's not until we fail to use it that we come to understand it. And for others still, making sense of their world is a process of consciously taking the road less traveled by listening to their intuition. In the first half of the show, we'll look at families and how that intimate environment shaped our concept of common sense. You'll hear from grown children, their parents, and three 11-year-olds. Each gives us a perspective of what common sense is and what it isn't. What better place to begin to explore common sense than with our parents? Pat Dejak did just that in an interview with her parents, Anne and Richard Dejak, who recently retired to a farm in western New York State.
I think I have common sense. I've never bounced a check. I've driven cross-country without incident. But this Christmas, when I went to visit my folks in western New York State, my mother told me that I have no common sense. So I was puzzled. When I brought the subject up that evening to both my mom and dad, my dad said, "Well, what do you want common sense for? You're very intelligent." So I was more confused. Are intelligence and common sense mutually exclusive? I don't think so. But I know that what my parents think has a big impact on me. So I thought maybe I needed to ask my mother, who's an archaeologist, and my dad, who's an insurance executive, what they thought common sense was.
I wanted to know about what you thought of my common sense. When you and I were hanging out at Christmas time looking through the tarot cards, I showed you the card that represented me. I think it was that card that mentioned a lack of common sense, and you said that was me.
No, the thing that sticks in my mind, and you do have a lot of common sense now because you've had a lot of experience.
Uh-huh.
But it's the time that you drove your bicycle, brand new bicycle, over the bottle. But, I mean, it was very scientific. You wanted to find out what would happen. But if you had thought about it a little bit...
Do you think you have common sense?
Of course.
Yeah, your mother does. Yeah, Mom has a...
Not sometimes. Not all the time, though.
Mom has...
Because sometimes if I do something in a hurry, I don't think about what's going to happen, you know, if I don't do it correctly.
But when you stop and think about it, yes, you do. You have more common sense than any of us, I think. But I agree with you. I think we all do that. When we act in a rash manner, then obviously common sense goes out the door because we're reacting. I think common sense is when you stop and think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Common sense is not so common.
Mm.
It's like, you know, if you were a farmer up here, you know what to do with the cows and you know what not to do. You've been raised with them all your life, so
yeah.
You know what to do and what not to do.
Oh, that's a good example. Yeah, because us with the pipes. Everybody else up here knows to run the water. To them, that's common sense. We didn't know. So that's a learned experience.
We knew, but we just didn't think of it. Common sense told us that we should have run the pipes, run the water. But we didn't stop to think about it, so we didn't run the water.
Okay, Dad, do you want to take a shot at these questions?
Well, I've been indoctrinated. I spent 36 years in the insurance industry. So we were, ever since I can remember, we were trained on a doctrine of the reasonable man. What would the reasonable man do in any circumstances? So whenever I think, I always think of as the reasonable man. You know, a reasonable man doesn't put anybody in hazard. He doesn't do stupid things. But that's, again, I think Mom's right on it. I think it's stuff that you learn from your surroundings, from your tribe, so to speak. It's like, you know, you don't put your hand on a hot stove because when you're a little kid, your mother said, don't put your hand on a hot stove, you're going to burn yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you did, you learned that way. But I think it's things we are taught. Common sense are things we are taught, and we acquire. And as we acquire, as we grow, I think most people have the ability to acquire common sense. Some people are too stupid to do it. I went to high school with a kid that was a genius, and he literally would forget to get off the bus to come to school, and they used to have to go looking for him. The guy ended up with NASA. He was such a genius. He was in their think tank. But, he couldn't, basic things. They had to tell him when to eat. They used to have to, one guy was his friend, used to sort of lead him around. And the guy was a genius. But, he had no common sense. The normal things that you and I would do, his mind was elsewhere, so he just ignored it.
It
wasn't important to him. I think it's a learned experience, but my common sense is a learned experience.
I think what you just said, it wasn't important to him, is important. That maybe some people would look at and say, oh, they don't have any common sense, because we don't know what their priorities are.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. Yeah.
Wow, we're all in agreement.
Yeah. We're the same family. What the hell? We operate in the same mores.
We're all anthropologists.
Yeah.
I was hoping to get some really juicy quotes about how you didn't think I had any common sense.
You've grown quite a bit, babe, because you've had to.
Yeah.
When I managed to get away from home to stand on my own.
No. I think since you got divorced.
But also, I think it's like they always say about good steel has to be fired and tested. Well, it's the same thing. I think until you are on your own, operating on your own, there are certain things that you just float through, figuring somebody else will pick up on them. But when you're all by yourself, when you have to depend on yourself, then I think you step up to the next level. You open that next drawer. You start operating as a different person, almost, I would say. So, yeah, no, you have a lot of common sense. I mean, you know, I just, be honest with you, I worry less about you now than I did 5 years ago. I don't even think it's common sense. I wouldn't even use common sense. I think it's maturity.
Well, now we've come full circle, because at Christmas time, I thought you guys thought I didn't have any common sense.
No, why did you think that?
Because you said I didn't have any common sense.
It's true. What we tell our children does have a lasting impression. But when given the chance, we find that kids are busy forming their own unique sense of what's right and what's wrong. Guy Thorvaldsen talks with 3 fifth graders and found they have more insight into common sense than he imagined.
Time to do the dishes, Jenny. But, Dad, I want to go out and play. Once you get your work done, then you can play all you want. But why can't I play first, then do the dishes? It's just the way it is, Jenny. First work, then play. Besides, if you did the dishes later, there would be more dishes added on. It makes better sense to do them now. I don't care, Dad. I want to play now. That's what makes more sense to me. Sound familiar? Adults and kids. 2 different views of what makes sense. I interviewed my 11-year-old stepson, Zai, and his 2 friends, Emma and Clara, for their point of view about what makes common sense.
It's your room and it's your bed. Why should you have to make it for your parents?
Exactly,
they don't have to come in it. They don't have to see it if you keep the door closed.
When I have to clean the front hall and nobody goes through the front hall.
And why should I have to, clean the kitchen if I didn't make the mess?
Yeah, why? In many ways, I have to agree with them. It is all too easy for us overworked adults to take life a bit too seriously. It's important to understand that kids have very different jobs than us. You know, things like playing as much as is humanly possible, and eating as many sweets as they can.
If you, like, earn your allowance and you can't spend it, what's the point if you can't even spend it on what you want?
Some parents try to get their kids to save all their money for the future. It's kind of like that, well, you're like 10 or 11 now, and so what is the point?
If you go to bed really early when you're a kid, then when you're a grown-up, you're like not used to it.
For Clara, Zai, and Emma, the message to adults is clear. Don't automatically assume your rules are our rules.
I think there's kind of two kinds of common sense. Like, there's a kid's kind and then there's an adult's kind. And kids usually know what's best for them.
They take advantage of their common sense.
They're annoying.
Kids and adults do have something important in common. We all have had to make tough choices in our lives. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. But in the end, we always learn something new. Finally, I asked Clara, Emma, and Zai for their definition of common sense. I was impressed by their thoughtfulness, wisdom, and understanding of what it takes to get by in the world.
Doing something that you know you should do, because if you don't do something, then it's probably going to lead to trouble in the future.
It's like doing something that your brain or your body says this is what you should do, if it's good or bad.
I think common sense is doing what you feel is right.
So next time a young person looks like they're totally blowing off what you consider to be sagely wisdom, listen again. They may just have something better to offer, or at least more fun.
Even a child would know that a large, prehistoric-looking, scaly reptile with lots of sharp teeth is dangerous. But as Fran Rahl tells us in her poem, Alligators, it is all too easy to forget what seems so obvious.
Word from the bayou. Please do not annoy the alligators. Do not feed or feel them. They can run faster than you can, Ripley says. Do not stand close to the darling little scaly youngsters. To them you are a big, ugly monster. Their piping will bring the mother running faster than you can. Or did I already mention that? This whole thing sounds like something from Mars, like, do not annoy the Martians. Oh, I forgot. Do not poke at alligators' nests or eggs, and do not go into the water, or throw sticks for your dog to fetch from the water. Do not fight over possession of a hooked fish. Cut the line. What did alligators do in the prehistoric dawn of time before handbags? Sleep, swim, mate, feed, rear young. They didn't climb apple trees to tempt Eve. Hey, let's let them pretend we're not here.
Sometimes, for kids, failing to use common sense feels as dangerous as swimming with those alligators. Often, our first harsh reminder of not using adult common sense stays with us for the rest of our lives as a penance. Louise Mancuso found it's just as important having the freedom to not use your common sense.
I don't remember anyone ever telling me to use my common sense when I was growing up, but I do recall my mother saying, Louise, use your head. A lot. I won't swear to it, but I think I first heard those words directed my way when I was 3 and had gone with great excitement into my room to get the gigantic Easter basket filled with chocolate bunnies, chickens, marshmallow eggs, and many colored jelly beans to show a visitor. I remember holding the braided handle with 2 hands because the basket was so heavy, but even so, in my forward movement, which was most likely in the running mode, the basket tipped, sending Easter goodies cascading all over the floor. What's the matter with you? Use your head. You know that basket is too heavy for you to carry. I knew. Maybe it's just that, being firstborn, I was expected to pop out of the womb already equipped with the world's knowledge tattooed in my brain. Or perhaps it was the fact that, having repeated things over and over, like, don't run, you'll fall, my parents felt that at some point the reasoning must surely sink in, and I would do things in the logical, commonsensical way. Most likely it was the latter, for in roughly the same time frame, I remember telling my barely 2-year-old brother that he was not to smear that street tar all over his choo-choo train after my mother had brought him outside where I was playing, cautioning me to keep an eye on him for a few moments while she went back into the house for something. I remember his big blue eyes looking at me while I was telling him this once, then twice, waiting for an acknowledgement that he had heard me and understood. When he finally smiled, I breathed a sigh of relief, only to cry out in horror moments later when he not only turned around and continued to smear the black sticky stuff on the seat of his train, but then sat on it with his newly washed and pressed play suit. Yikes! How could he be so dumb? Hadn't I explained over and over why he shouldn't do that? Wasn't I making sense? But I'm sure I'm not alone in this. How many of us, even now, all grown up and having been told perhaps a billion pieces of information over and over, hear that phrase, what's the matter with you, when we decide to take off for a place we've never been, very little money in our pocket, no job lined up, no place to live, or change jobs even though we may have built up seniority but couldn't take the routine, boss, or politics of the place any longer, or maybe even answered a personals ad, taking a chance we just might connect with a potential love and life partner, even though we hadn't been having much luck through more conventional means. Haven't you got any sense, we're told? Common sense? Does anyone ever get it, or even want it, totally? Wouldn't life be just that much more dull if we always acted in a mature, commonsensical way? This is Louise Mancuso, happy and living on the nonsensical edge in this, my 57th year of life.
You're listening to Common Sense on Mind's Eye Radio. Coming up, we'll hear about a town where all common sense was sucked out of the populace, how a farmer's common sense can mean the difference between profit and foreclosure, and reflections on how common sense can be our friend or foe.
YWCA, and part of it is permanent housing, part of it is a shelter for homeless people. I think a lot of the people here are people who have been through a lot in their lives. They've come from circumstances where life was not fair, and they came here and they found a place where they could be safe. I don't think you're born with common sense. I think it's something you learn. You learn it through your family of origin. If you don't get it there, you learn it through the street of hard knocks.
Sometimes I think that you don't even have to think about what you got to do. It's just something natural. You know, I think your common sense just kicks in, and you just do it. I think I got streetwise because now I can look at things and I can realize what's good for Berlin and what's not and what's going to harm me and what's situation that I shouldn't get myself into and walk away from it.
Survivor skills can happen. You know, they come out when you least expect it. You know, you just put in a situation, then you just go from there. You know, so, but like, I agree what she said. You know, I'm from Chicago. I came from Chicago. I was trying to make a better life for my son because his daddy was a very violent, physical and verbal violent person. So, you know, I just, you know, picked up and just left and everything. So I didn't expect to be here, but to kind of like save money instead of staying in a hotel, I came here just to give me enough time to find a place. And, you know.
I came here with $5. Me and my kids and my boyfriend came here with $5 in our pocket. And I did more things than I did in 2.5 weeks than I did up in Chicago. Common sense come naturally. If some people don't use it because they don't want to use it. If you got to come out there and be on the streets and to survive, common sense is going to come if you don't have nobody. If some people lean on other people because people let them to, and then they let it just do whatever they want.
Oh, see, the thing is common sense is just, it's supposed to be what it sounds like, common sense. Too many people are, they want to do things the easy way. They want to do things that aren't going to be so hard. Well, if you use common sense, you realize you can't do the easy thing all the time.
I think common sense is what you are upstairs. What's the brains you got?
Warning, coffee may be hot. Warning, don't stop car on railroad tracks. Warning, don't smoke near gas tanks. With all the frivolous lawsuits being filed these days, it's no wonder that businesses feel compelled to warn us of obvious dangers in life. Poet Lynn Patrick Smith wonders just how far they'll go in his poem, Disclaimer.
We cannot be held responsible if instructions are not followed. If instructions are followed and problems ensue, feel free to file a claim, but be advised we will decide what steps, if any, will be taken. Instructions are only a guideline and cannot take into account your state of mind, state of affairs, or whether you're in an hysterical state, state of confusion, or simply a state implied but not stated above. Your stars or your spine may have been out of alignment. You may have boldly read the Spanish instructions, even though you flunked Spanish your freshman year. When it comes to following instructions, you may not be blessed with any common sense. Problems may have ensued due to your own interpretation. You may have reached a conclusion we had not intended for you. We will need to review your grade school report cards. If they state, has trouble following instructions, this may simply be your fate, in which case fate is not covered under any warranty, whether written, stated, or implied. This is Lynn Patrick Smith for Mind's Eye Radio.
Linda Hart spent time with a few farmers and found out that farming is one of the top professions where common sense is used.
Where does common sense come from? Our old expressions suggest the family farm. After all, everyone knows you shouldn't count your chickens before they hatch, and there's no sense closing the barn door once the horse is out. Farmers have always had to outwit the weather, plan for the growing season, and get their tractors running for one more year. Faced with these obstacles, it's no wonder the practical and the sensible have carried the day. But now that family farms are disappearing, are we also losing our horse sense? Surely not, say a group of Wisconsin farmers using organic and sustainable methods. These farmers are combining old wisdom with new ideas to carry farming into the future. Bill and Roz Gaussman operate a 45-cal dairy farm in the town of Dunn, 10 miles south of Madison. They graze brown Swiss and Holsteins on 22 acres of pasture, moving cows to fresh grass every few days. Rotational grazing is a new method of farming based on an old idea. If you carefully manage the grass, the cows will eat it. Bill Gaussman says that means less work and expense for the farmer.
You can go for a walk to feed the cows instead of chasing cattle around, moving them around. Now they follow me because they know they're going to get new grass.
The Gaussmans have found other ways to save money and take the drudgery out of farming. They installed automatic waterers for the cows and built their own milking parlor, using recycled metal pipes. This spring, the Gaussmans will train their cows to walk through the parlor.
And then I slide these gates across behind the cows to lock them in, so both ends will be closed when the cows are in.
Roz Gaussman explains that farming requires a lot of different skills, patience for one, and a willingness to test what works and what doesn't. It also helps to know a little cow psychology.
Yeah, you really do have to kind of use common sense in figuring out the animals and how to get them to do what you want them to do. You know, there's times when they'll get out of the fence and we have to get them back into a certain area, and your instinct is to go chase them. But
I'm chasing him and Roz is getting a bucket of grain.
Yep.
The Gaussmans say people may have a hard time understanding the day-to-day challenges of farming because so few people farm nowadays.
I think sometimes farming gets a bad rap, or the farmer, the stereotype farmer. You're like, oh, just a dumb farmer. But I think you have to be pretty smart to stay in farming nowadays.
John Kiefer agrees that family farmers have to be smart to survive. The Kiefers run an organic dairy farm in Sauk City. They graze about 30 Jersey cows and raise a flock of free-range chickens. Unlike most conventional farmers, the Kiefers milk their cows seasonally instead of year-round. John Kiefer says seasonal milking is more efficient because it's in tune with the cow's natural cycles.
They have the cows freshen in the spring, so you could take advantage of the nice warm weather for their calves to be born. Plus, they give their most milk right after the calf is born. So that's when you want all your grass. So they could eat a lot of grass and produce a lot of milk, so you make more money. So that's just that's horse sense, I guess.
The Kiefers have learned a lot about organic farming by talking to other dairy farmers, and they've also benefited from the mistakes of others. Kiefer says that's valuable in farming when there's not a lot of room for error.
You know, I think common sense probably is more valuable to the people that don't have a lot of money. You know, somebody with a lot of money can afford not to have a lot of common sense because they got the money to fall back on their mistakes.
Common sense may have another dimension as well. Kitty Murphy Kiefer explains that common sense is also based on intuition. For the Kiefers, common sense means doing what's best for the land and the animals.
You know, you have to trust your sense of knowing. And if something feels really right and really good in a very calm, knowing way, well, there's reasons for that.
Jane Holly Stevens says intuition led her to farm organically. She operates an herb farm in North Freedom and sells Nature's Acres body care products.
But once I had my own farm, I really felt that a connection to nature and the earth, to the point where I just couldn't put any of these chemicals on my soil.
Holly Stevens is hopeful that this kind of common sense will prevail. She says farming is a blend of science and intuition, a balance gained through the experiences of living.
Farmers are put on the edge of living because their livelihood is directly tied to nature, like the weather in particular. And to know that you're not completely in control of everything in your life, that there's a certain element of mystery or, you know, you have to live kind of by faith.
In that sense, farming is not unlike other paths in life. Success depends on testing old and new ideas, trusting your gut feelings, and not putting all your eggs in one basket. This is Linda Hart reporting.
Now and then we can't even find the basket to put our eggs in. The voice of reason inside our heads stops talking, and we're at the mercy of the senseless zone. Writer Sue Renard explores the possibilities in Something in the Coffee.
Anybody home?
Hi, June. I'm in the kitchen. Come on back.
Hi, Betty. I just made a fresh batch of coffee and brought over a cup for you.
Thanks, June, but I've sworn off caffeine. 2 days and counting.
What smells so good in here?
That's my last batch of chocolate chip cookies. Could you get that out for me?
Oh, sure.
An ordinary woman doing ordinary things. A neighbor comes over and unthinkingly picks up a hot pan with her bare hands. An ordinary occurrence? Sometimes. It's hard to tell. In the senseless zone.
Quiet, please! Please, everyone, quiet!
I've called this meeting because we don't have much time. As you know, the Midwest has just been declared a disaster area. No one really knows what's going on yet. But I have someone here who may be able to help us. Let me introduce Betty Collins from Friendly, Wisconsin. She's just been telling me it all began with a neighbor. Is that right, Mrs. Collins?
Yes, General, that's right. Though I didn't think anything of it at the time. She wasn't really hurt that badly. But the very next day, my husband and I were sitting around the breakfast table when he suddenly jumped up, gulped the last of his coffee, and dashed out of the room. I found him a minute later standing tiptoe on a swivel chair trying to change a light bulb. Luckily, I caught the chair just as it started to roll out from under him.
Oh, my ears.
Oh, yeah, I've done the same thing myself sometimes.
That's what I mean. That's why it took me so long to see there was a pattern. Oh, there were a few more things that day that were just as odd. I learned my friend Mark was marrying a twice-divorced woman he had only known for a week. And then on the third day, I got a call from my brother Jack. Hello?
Betty, it's Jack. You won't believe this. I just quit my job.
What? Quit your job? What happened?
Well, it's good news, really. I don't need to work anymore because I just won $10 million. $10 million!
What?
I just won $10 million.
How?
That's what's so funny. I didn't have to do a thing. This letter just arrived telling me I was a winner. It had that old guy's picture on it. You know, the one who used to work with Johnny Carson.
Oh, Jack. Tell you, General, that's when I figured something was really wrong. Jack used to be one of the most level-headed people I knew. After that, things got worse quickly. The temperature was soaring into the high 90s that day, and I decided to go to the mall to cool off and do some shopping. When I was walking toward the store, I passed several cars that were left running, the keys in the ignition and the doors unlocked. Then, right near the door, I passed five cars, all with their windows rolled tight, each with a baby or a dog trapped inside. You could see they were suffering. It was horrible. So I ran to a nearby phone. Hey, excuse me. You on the phone? I've got an emergency here.
Hey, lady, back off. I'm talking to my psychic here.
But this is an emergency. There are lives at risk. Give me that phone.
Hey, stop that.
No, but you don't
knock
understand.
Knock it off.
Give me that phone.
Hey, you knocked over my coffee. Now my shirt's going to be stained.
I tried calling 911. But all I got was a busy signal, so I rushed over to a nearby gas station looking for help. Just as I got there, a kid came out of the door holding one of those giant mugs. He took a gulp and set it on top of the car, which was still running, by the way, lit a cigarette and started pumping gas. I yelled at him that he didn't have the sense he was born with, but he wouldn't listen to me. I drove out of there right away, headed to the police station. A mile later, I heard a boom, and then a black cloud rose in the sky.
Oh, it's quite a story, Mrs. Collins. Do you have any theories about what was happening?
I've had a lot of time to think of this, General. There must be something that's sucking the common sense out of people. What better way to disarm the Earth than by having all the humans become incompetent?
General? General, sorry to interrupt, but we just got a coded message from NORAD. Seems we've lost the western seaboard.
What happened?
Early this morning, the utilities started sensing odd power surges throughout the Pacific states. They got more and more frequent until the whole power grid went down. Best they could tell, millions of people were using their hair dryers while in the bathtub.
Oh. Gentlemen, ladies, we can't delay any longer. I must call the president.
This is the president.
Mr. President, General Arthur here. We've got a situation.
What's that? Speak up a little.
Mr. President, we've just lost the West Coast. Something is robbing everyone of their common sense.
Just a minute, General. I can't hear you. I'm in the tub. Here, let me turn off this radio.
Common sense. Saved us from predators in our distant past. Makes us seek shelter from cold and rain. It's helped the human race survive for a million years. But maybe it's outgrown us here in the senseless zone.
There are known cases beyond the boundaries of the senseless zone where common sense seems to be lacking. Laura Poland has a few thoughts on why this may be.
Some people are afraid that Americans have lost their common sense. To see what we might have lost, I looked in the dictionary. Always a good place to start. Common sense is defined as native good judgment, a natural sagacity or understanding of mankind. We don't lose our senses, but we do seem to lose our confidence in our ability to interpret this information. Are many of us suffering from a form of expertitis? We don't believe anything unless it comes to us through the seal of approval of an expert. How did so many of us get this special feeling of inferiority, an actual distrust of what our senses are trying to communicate to us? I wish I could answer this, but I'll take a hint from the concise Oxford Dictionary of Proverbs, a proverbial treasure trove of collected common sensia. They credit Hippocrates with the saying, "Art is long, and life is short." Hippocrates was referring to the study of medicine before it was elevated into a science. Edgar Allan Poe is quoted as saying, "You're young yet, but the time will arrive when you will learn to judge for yourself. Believe nothing you hear, and only one half of what you see." We are born totally relying on our parents for all of our physical, emotional, and intellectual needs. We go to school and become conditioned to relying on our teachers for many years. We then have to make that difficult transition to adulthood, where we're supposed to become the final arbiters of judgment for ourselves. The difficulty we find in achieving adulthood is reinforced by our political and social culture. It's easier to manipulate people who are not used to sifting through experiences themselves, but who grow up expecting others to do it for them. In ending, I'll snatch another quote, this time from Euclid. "There is no royal shortcut to geometry." Or how about, "Experience teacheth fools, and he is a great one that will not learn by it."
It often does take a lifetime to acquire common sense. Jackie Wilson touches on this in her poem, Thirst.
Common sense can take many forms and many years to acquire. This poem is about growing up with a lack of common sense and what can happen to a person raised without it. Thirst. I gave up a life of individuality I didn't know I had, to chase a group mirage of approving family and human caring that never was. Now the lake has vanished in the desert noon of reality, and I am mired in the abandoned sands of poverty.
Common is often used to describe things that are lowbrow or that have lost their value through overuse. Neither of those meanings is true for common sense, as Gay Davidson-Zilsky describes in her essay, Uncommon Sense.
When my mother was really trashing someone, she called the person common, which of course was laughable since our pedigree is not exactly that of blue bloods. But in Mother's lexicon, the use of common had very little to do with its usage in common sense, which in Mother's mind was unfailingly a good thing. Common sense, she held, was horse sense, things that a person was just supposed to know if she had knocked around on Earth long enough. I was always a little suspicious of this second kind of so-called common sense, too, though, since I longed to become an intellectual, and I had noticed that many people, including my mother, used the phrase to exclude intellectual solutions to problems. That is, if something simple needed to get done, you went to a common person with horse sense, not some pointy-headed intellectual who would probably end up dragging in lawyers, whom everybody knows never have any common sense. As a result of all this received maternal wisdom mixed up with my own observations about human behavior, I have therefore hit upon my own working definition of common sense. It's what tells you that if you have a choice between buying a cheap, sensible, sturdy car that you hate and an expensive, silly one that you love, you have to go with your pocketbook, not your heart. If I have the money at all, I always lead with my heart, which is why my mother was stuck for years with a sensible blue Studebaker, which would not wear out, but which she hated to be seen in, and why I bought a bright green Fiat that got me around in style for about 2 months and then imploded. I also have some respect for common sense when it appears in the form of folk wisdom. I don't think anyone could have improved on King Solomon's trick for deciding which woman was the mother of the surviving child. But that sort of falls into the realm of psychology, and certainly the art of figuring out human nature is rare everywhere, among both common people and among intellectuals. One can also drive oneself mad trying to apply common sense to products and their advertisements. Recently, I visited the High Holy Temple of Cleaning, a place famous for industrial-strength cleaners. When I made way to uncork the solution guaranteed to make shower stalls sparkle, I paused just a second to actually read the instructions. How complicated can cleaning fluid be? The first instruction read as follows: start with a clean shower. Now I don't know what to do. Shall I return the cleaner and wait for my shower to clean itself? Examples of mandatory warning labels can be pretty funny, too, indicating a complete lack of belief in the existence of common sense in the common person. On new knives, caution, edge is sharp. On a handheld hairdryer, do not attempt to operate underwater. I hate the expression, duh, but if ever there was a reason to utter it, these no-brainers offer that opportunity. Human bodies should come equipped with this kind of labeling. Beware, legs may buckle in advanced age and throw the owner headlong into bushes. Heart may stop beating unexpectedly. Make a will to avoid legal entanglements for your loved ones. So sense can be common or uncommon, and I sometimes wonder if I possess enough of either kind. Instead, I muddle through situations requiring common sense by culturing the friendship of a couple of practical, clear-headed people. More than two would bore me incredibly, though, so I flicker on, impetuous soul, burning the candle from the middle up and down. I'm Gay Davidson-Zelsky for Mind's Eye Radio.
When you're faced with imminent danger, sometimes the boundary between common sense and brazen stupidity gets blurred. A state of events that sparked fiction writer Dick Radke to write In the Panhandle.
Farron Bonamy is a 34-year-old bachelor who lives with his parents. He finds himself in Apalachicola, Florida, for his mother's piano recital at the Bay Arts Festival. Early in the evening, his daddy sneaks off to a game of cards with friends, while Mama, Nana, and Farron have dinner at the Gibson Inn. At 9:30, Mama resolves to fetch Daddy home from his game of chance. Farron is compelled to accompany her along the darkened streets. 10 minutes later, they strike out for the waterfront, Mama in her mink jacket and Nana hitching her aluminum walker along on Chantilly Street.
We walked by the old Confederate cemetery where ghosts of boys in gray marched among the rows of sandstone markers. Beyond the cemetery, in the lighted windows of houses, cats crouched at our passing. We were overtaken by a pack of Mongol dogs. They took no notice of us and disappeared into the gloom. Suddenly we were set upon by a man wearing a felt hat and brandishing a small caliber revolver. He stepped directly into our path and spread his legs like an outlaw. "What's this?" Mama demanded as I slid behind her formidable frame, groping at Nana's walker for a hold. "Your money," the thug replied in a thin, desperate voice. From behind the bougainvillea, a second voice coached, "Yeah, or your life." Mama planted her shoes on the oily street. Her hand went to her purse. "Have you got it?" I whispered into her ear. I was referring, of course, to the Smith & Wesson she had purchased in Macon. She had completed a course in small arms fire, qualifying with an expert rating. Mama pulled her Dunian Burke bag to her ample bosom and stepped closer to the gunman. "Neither money nor lives, young man." Next thing I knew, the thug's gun hand came forward, waving his lethal weapon an inch from Mama's chest. "I don't want to hurt nobody, but I mean to have your cash." "And jewelry," the voice behind the bougainvillea added. The gunman reached for Mama's pocketbook. Mama shouted, "Down, Nana!" and pushed the old deer on top of her head so forcefully that Nana's legs folded beneath her like a strip of toothpaste pushed back into its tube. Mama's free hand came up and caught the robber by the wrist. The barrel of the gun waved wildly about. An explosion shattered the air as a flash of light shot from the muzzle of the robber's gun. The precise order of events in the next few seconds is a blur. I do know that the shot arrested all movement as though we were posing for a photograph there on Chantilly Street. The robber dropped his arm, pulled out of Mama's grasp, and slipped back around the bougainvillea. Almost immediately, he and his accomplice broke cover, heading down the street toward the docks. Quick as a wink, Mama drew her Smith & Wesson and assumed the firing position. Without a moment's hesitation, she let one fly at the fleeting pair, sending echoes rolling down the deserted street. Over in the cemetery, rebel ghosts seemed to hearken as though Robert E. Lee himself was calling them back to battle. I joined Nana close to the ground and prayed. The shots brought the street to life. People poured out of the Sunrise Motel. Daddy found us minutes later, huddled in a group. He held a fan of Blu-ray cards in his hand. He pulled the Dutch Master cigar from between his teeth and embraced Mama, revolver and all. Nana sat by the side of the road, chuckling to herself. I arranged her on the curb and draped my jacket over her shoulders. Mama cradled her left hand in a lace handkerchief. Blood oozed from between her fingers. Upon closer examination, I saw that the small finger of the hand was missing and that Mama was about to go faint. "I believe I have been hit, son," she said as she teetered against me. We swayed like competitors in a marathon dance contest. Catching a purchase on the curb with my foot, I steadied Mama until the blood coursed back into her head and we called for an ambulance. Needless to say, Mama was unable to perform at the Bay Arts Festival. The terrifying incident ended her piano career forever. However, she does plan to direct her energies to a Bliss of Southern Cooking show on public television, a venue in which she will compete head-to-head with the Chinese Walkman. Mama is off on another adventure, and I am prepared to hold her cape. This is Dick Radke for Mind's Eye Radio.
Where would we be without common sense? Out in the rain without a hat? Closing the barn door after the horse gets out? Guy Thorvaldsen looks at the pros and cons of common and uncommon sense.
When America was in the throes of its revolutionary birth, Thomas Paine wrote his famous work called Common Sense. This highly acclaimed treatise was a step-by-step argument for dissolving our political bonds with the monarchy of England. I read it because I thought it might help me find a working model for common sense. Paine's call was for the common populace to be the underpinnings of government, to reject power from on high. However, while his ideas were on behalf of the common people, he still wrote in the complex language of the elite. To the ordinary person, his words would have to be translated. Power would still be the privilege of the wealthy and educated class. Kings and queens would not die so quickly. On the other hand, I was not surprised. Trying to get politicians to actually govern with the common good in mind is like trying to convince a parent that their kid actually does know what he or she is doing. I figured I'd be better off on my own trying to explore what common sense is. First, I began with what it is not. Those lessons are more poignant and, in retrospect, funnier. Like the time when I decided I didn't need to call ahead for a reservation on a holiday weekend, and my wife's yelling at me as we're driving around Detroit at 2 a.m. searching for a hotel. Or the time when I cooked up the pasta before beginning the tomato sauce and ended up serving our guest with what looked like a large spaghetti meatball. Or when I spent our family's last $5 on some lottery tickets, hoping for the big one, and didn't have enough for gas to get to work the next day. We all know these experiences, and perhaps better yet, the ensuing humiliation. The grating sound of our parents' voice ringing in our ears. Everybody knows you don't mix beer and wine. Of course you have a wicked hangover. Why didn't you use your common sense? Yes, why not? If it's the fact of life, the rule that is common to everyone, and you don't know it, is there some bad wiring going on in your brain? Or worse yet, malice in your soul? That's often what we are made to feel like, especially those of us who rely on other senses to get by. You are traveling home through the country on a snowy night. Common sense, and everyone else in the car, says take the low-lying road. Avoid the high passes. But a voice inside you says, take the high pass. Your fellow passengers tell you that you're crazy. You begin to doubt yourself. But that feeling will not go away. You take the high road, risking ridicule and exemption from those you love. What if you are wrong? But you're not. It works. In the morning, you read in the paper of a terrible accident which blocked the low-lying roads. Your choice to follow your uncommon sense, the solution which no one else thought of, was right. You are either praised for your insight, or more likely told, by those who hold common sense to be some sort of religion, that you were lucky. It is true that on a very practical level, choosing what is commonly accepted helps life run more smoothly. Dress warm against the wind. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Eat your vegetables and exercise. These choices are qualified buffers against the daily stress of life. But to hold too tight to these virtues or judge others harshly for their lack of them is dangerous. Well, of course you caught a cold. Everybody knows you shouldn't go out with a wet head in winter. Ignores the fact that while out on this flu-promoting winter jaunt, you saw a great snowy owl in the moonlight that inspired a best-selling children's book. The cold will eventually pass. The book will remain. It is often our uncommon sense which leads us to that which is beautiful and visionary. Common sense is essential to daily survival. We all want to be safe and secure and healthy, but it has its limits. Not so long ago, common sense declared that the world was flat, that blacks were inferior, that women should stay at home. Perhaps a deeper common sense is to know when to toe the line and when to challenge the status quo. Throw caution to the wind and see what surprises are around the corner. When I was growing up, we played football on a field that was empty, except for an oak tree right in the middle. Occasionally, someone would lose his or her bearing and run smack into the tree. Common sense said play somewhere else, or put padding around the tree. but we did neither. It was too much fun knowing the tree was there, and then forgetting it, and then remembering again. We all survived intact, and without that oak tree, the game would not have been as rich.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Mind's Eye Radio, written and produced by the Mind's Eye Radio Collective in Madison, Wisconsin. The show was produced by Kelly Warren and Tammy Teschner, and co-produced by Sue Renard and Guy Thorvaldsen. Contributing writers include Gay Davidson-Zilski, Pat Dijak, Linda Hart, Louise Mancuso, Laura Polin, Dick Radke, Fran Rawl, Sue Renard, Lynn Patrick Smith, Guy Thorvaldsen, Kelly Warren, and Jackie Wilson. The Mind's Eye players included Kelly Clemens, Kristen Uhouse, Sue Renard, Kelly Warren, and Greg Willard. Original music by Barbara Chusett. If you would like a copy of this show or would like more information about Mind's Eye Radio, call 608-256-6525 or catch us on our website at www.mindseyeaudio.com. That's Mind's Eye Audio, all one word and no apostrophe, .com. Until next time, remember, the free thought of one age is the common sense of the next. For Mind's Eye Radio, I'm Cole Hornaday.